The early birds catches the worms. That's right. Tune into Early Morning Scoop with David Chombe, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Good morning. Morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Chombe. We are greeting you from your number one favorite talk radio station, wherever you are. How are you doing? How did you enjoy your weekend? How was the 21st of March? And how was Namibia's birthday? Some of you are returning back to work. Some of you, are still sleeping. But the very important thing is that make sure that you have a plan, you have a program of action, make sure that you have a personal plan too that you are following, because at the end of the day, it's what you do. It's not about what you want to do. It's not about what you wish, but it's what you do. And it's 15 minutes past the hour of 6. It's the 23rd of March 2026. We are indicating that March is coming to the conclusion. Then we'll focus on what is coming ahead. The question you should always ask yourself is that thing that you said you were doing, where are you? You are still procrastinating, or you are still trying to find a way. So, the other thing, we also like giving you a motivation, particularly at the beginning of the week, to indicate that everybody want to be chief, everybody want to be manager, everybody want to be the CEO. Everybody want to be the boss. But there's a saying which is indicating that for you to be a king, you need to be a very good servant, because you must not jump steps. So if you want to be a king one day, if you're aspiring being a king, if you're aspiring being a CEO, at least be a good cleaner first, be a good secretary, so that you will get there with time and also at an understandable pace. And it's not about the title, it's what you can do when you are there. That's why it's always very important to understand that being a king, being a good king, understand that you need to be a servant, so that you understand the in and out of things. And looking at what we have for you today, particularly when we are going to look at analysis of global happiness report, and also where we are. And what is the relationship between happiness? Is it happiness, this one we mean for smiling? Or is happiness in terms of life satisfaction? Where have we moved? And also, what other countries also are at? And compared to African countries, are we where we were supposed to be? Are we leading, or we are in the top five? Those are the questions that we need to ask ourselves. And before we go there, it's quite important to look at international news, to look at international news, and also look at what is happening. You will not speak about international news without looking at the Middle East, particularly in the situation where the price of oil, it's going beyond 110 per barrel. And there's a lot of bombardment going on. There's a lot of bombardment going on, especially in the Middle East. And seems like when you look at what Iran is doing, it's upgrading its game. And President of the U.S. is indicated that gave Iran 48 hours to open the Strait of Hormuz, otherwise we'll be able to bomb or obliterate their energy plant. And they indicated that if you destroy our energy plant, we are just going to shut it down completely until we rebuild that. And you realize to say, this is really giving a global pressure, especially when it comes to the price of oil, and also when it comes to, the impact of war. You realize to say, what happened in the weekend is also that Iran has also surprised the world especially going beyond its expected range of shooting, because it has been indicated that when it comes to targeting of its enemies, targeting of its enemies installations, it was indicated that Iran has surprised the world by shooting or launching two ballistic missiles in the range of 4,000 kilometers, because the one that they've been shot all those days since the beginning of the war, they were just in the range of 2,000 kilometers. And 2,000 kilometers is not an easy thing. It was indicated that two ballistic missiles, one was intercepted. One is also, one was intercepted and one reached the base, the UK and USA base that is in a very small island that is called the Diango Garcia. It was indicated that it has changed the whole trajectory, the understanding of the world, because if you look at the diameter of that range and you extend it all sides, you realize to say, analysts are indicating that these missiles can also reach Europe. That is why the table have changed, the art of war have changed, to realize that Iran might be a superpower undercover, because things have changed now. And it's undeniable now that US is not going to turn back getting into this war, especially when also look on Sunday and also last night, realize to say there's a lot of missiles going through the Israel air defense system, and it's becoming worse every day. And you know, the question is always to say, what will happen? Because this war is going to, it's going to the whole month now, because it started exactly on the 28th of February. And the question is always, what will happen, especially looking at the price of oil and also other commodities. And it's not only about the price of oil. You also have human relations. You also have freights. You also have, other commodities such as wheat. And, one must be able really to look into that context. One must be able to look into that content and find a way on what needs to be done. And other countries are making alternative ways. Other countries are strategizing and planning. Question is also always to say, what about us? What about us, Namibia? What game plan do we have, particularly in terms of long term? Because by the look of things, this war is not coming to an end soon. Because if you look at what the Iranians have done, especially with their military system, that operating without the head, something that surprised the whole world. And I think business school, so also copying the strategy, because it was indicated that after they have learned a lesson of what happened to Saddam, what happened to Maduro, they have a new strategy to say, even if you take down the head, the legs will still function, will still have the arms to fight back. But the question is always to say, who is going to justify this war and what will happen? And you should also be concerned about Israel. To say, when you look at Israel, you should also really be concerned. It's not only about the decision of the leader. It's also about what people will go through. Because I see other people are celebrating when civilians have become casualties. But when you look into that context, you realize to say, sometimes civilians are innocent. It's a decision of politicians, because politicians have political power. And political power to command the military to go to war, that can cause misery and death of even innocent people. That's why you must think beyond that to say, sometimes when civilians are becoming casualty, sometimes it's not their intention, but it's also about either miscalculation or over confidence of certain leaders, especially going to war. You look at what's happening in the US also. The Senates are also not happy. If you listen to the interview of Director of National Intelligence in the U.S., particularly faced by the Senate, you realize to say some of the questions are not being answered, and you have to be accountable to that. And the good thing about American democracy is that when they are not happy, they look at you, they deal with you, and definitely that they hold you accountable. But there is a lot of process looking into that. Now, when the world is burning, what is happening in Africa? When the world is burning, what is happening in Africa? Why you are so concerned much about the world burning? Why you have our own scars that we have been dealing with for a very long time? That is a question that we also need to look at. But after a short commercial break, we'll look at the Democratic Republic of Congo, especially when the president of the Democratic Republic of Congo has also, looked at the new way to save the struggling airline. Realize that it's not only Namibia that is struggling with having an airline back, but other countries are also struggling with maintaining their airlines. That's why we are going to look into that, especially after a short commercial break. And remember, today we have the Villager newspaper for Monday, which is out, which you cannot afford to lose. Make sure that you stay with us, because we are here until the hour of 8 o'clock.
Lipura nenge no wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondu tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kutite opoewe ekukulile oshafa fana nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano hile koshuwana onongeshe faa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi nawa nune udo otukwetira o special angeta shake ngeshe faa omarudi tayo loka opone ushendife nawa nukumona oijamweli nawa ninge Fanona, Monica, Co, Eagle FM, Honora Tatime, Bali Heali, Nola Natu, Heali Bali, No Heali, Ileko, Berewa, Mura Hetatu, Natu, Bali, O Hetatu, Batatu, Oma Filane, Eagle FM, the
I. The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any other.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
So not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6%, is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM.
The early bird catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombe, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism. Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM.
Yeah, we are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop with me, David Chombe. The time is 28 minutes past 6. And we are here until the hour of 8. And looking at the case of DRC, you know, you realize to say the problems that Namibia went through, almost the same problem that Democratic Republic of Congo, or Congo Airways, is going through. And you must really look into that. It was indicated that the president of Democratic Republic of Congo, that is Felix Tshisekedi, has launched, has tasked the prime minister to develop a strategic plan to revive the struggling state-owned airline. The national flag carrier is facing financial difficulties, maintenance-related disputes, and repeated suspension of its flights. and it has been forced into expensive short-term solution of leasing planes after its entire fleet was grounded for safety.
Choose driving sober over driving intoxicated. Choose to obey speed limits over speeding. Choose to use pedestrian crossings over crossing just anyway. And choose to replace worn-out tires over pinching pennies. Choose to do the right thing on our roads and save lives.
This message was brought to you by the National Road Safety Council.
Yeah, that is what's happening, especially with DRC. To say the problems that forced our airline or Namibia, or Air Namibia to be liquidated. It's almost the same problem that DRC is going through now. And maybe it's also a question of learning, particularly when we are also in the process of reviving our airline, to learn from others to see what really caused this problem. Is it the ownership of airlines? Is it the management? Is it the flights? Is it the routes? Is it the competition? Or is it the funds? Because DRC is also tired of bailing out its Congo Airways. That is why the president indicated that the prime minister must come up with a strategic plan to revive the struggling state-owned airline. And I don't know. This strategic plan what kind of strategic plan that is going to revive the struggling airline. But let's wait and see. It was stated that Congo Airways began operational in 2015, but it has faced a list of growing problems, including two Airbus being grounded, high maintenance cost, safety issues, and also corruption. Because in 2021, there were allegations of embezzlement related to over-invoicing, just as airline was planning to add four new planes to its flights. And, looking into this context, one must really look at Ethiopia. To say Ethiopia has a lot of problems, but Ethiopia is king when it comes to continental airlines, because there is no way they are not traveling. To say Ethiopia may have its own problems, but when you speak about international travel, nobody can be able to beat Ethiopia airline, because they are king of the sky, particularly in the safe space. Because if you are saying now in terms of aviation, king of the sky, they are saying US is a king of the sky, particularly in the art of war. But when it's coming to the freedom, transportation in the continent of Africa, one must really be able to learn from, Ethiopia, to say how come. Is it a geographical location, or they are just good at managing their airlines, because that is one of the thriving business when it comes to Ethiopia. Yeah, while we are there, it's quite also important to understand that the former president of Nigeria, this Obasanjo Olusegun, has visited Namibia. The former president of Nigeria has visited Namibia and paid a courtesy visit to different, leaders in Namibia, starting with the president, and also visited our first lady in Namibia, and also the third first lady, and just to strengthen the relationship between the two sister countries. Realize to say that Nigeria is our good friend. Nigeria is a good friend of Namibia, and we have a lot to gain from there. We have quite a lot to gain from Nigeria, especially in terms of trade and also other developmental projects, either it's in oil and gas, either it's academia. You realize to say Nigeria may have its own problems, but when it's coming to relationship and what we need to learn from Nigeria, it's quite a lot of things. Even the advancement in terms of oil and gas, even to capitalize on their population and also their ability to do business. So let us look at the short commercial break, then we'll be able to continue, particularly looking still in the continent of Africa, and we'll be able to continue. Remember that today we'll be looking at happiness report, especially from the hour of 7 there. And also to say, when you are speaking about happiness report, what do you really mean? Why is that very important? Is it only for people to be happy? But you need to realize that happiness report is based on life evaluation, on self evaluation, and also looking at life satisfaction, looking at economic well-being, looking at living standard, and also looking at other services that individuals have. And look at where Namibia is. To say, when you are complaining about us going down, what about other countries in the continent of Africa? Where are they? And also, what can be done, especially looking at learning from the best, and what are the data saying? Because it's always saying to say numbers don't lie. It is how you interpret them and also how you utilize them.
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondu tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kudite opoye ekukulile oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano hile koshuana onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa nune uto otukwetira o special angetashake ngeshe fa omarudi dayo loka opone ushendi fenawa nukumona oijamweli nawa ningepa Fanona, Monica, Co, Eagle FM, Honora Tatime, Bali Heali, Nola Natu, Heali Bali, No Heali, Ileko Berewa, Mora Hetatu Natu, Bali O Hetatu Batatu, Oma Filane, Eagle FM, The Eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its
staff. Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM.
The early birds catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombe, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism. Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye.
We are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop, looking at the Alliance of the Sahel, especially countries such as Niger, Mali, and Burkina Faso. It was stated that the Alliance of Sahel state outranged at UN demand to free Niger's former president. It was indicated that the European Parliament voted last week to pass a resolution especially that is demanding the immediate release of Niger's former president, that is Mohamed Bazoum, who was outset in a coup in 2023. And he has been detained ever since. The Alliance of Sahel State and has reacted with indignation. And looking into that context, one must really wonder what is happening, especially regarding regarding that context, because look at European Parliament demanding the release of the president of or the former president of Bazoum, who was taken out and arrested, and the military rulers in Niger, Burkina Faso, and Mali were united in refusing and denounced the resolution passed by EU Parliament to demand immediate release of Niger president. And they indicated that those are grave attempts in meddling at independence of the state or internal affairs. And really, looking at what EU Parliament has done, I don't think it's the wrong thing to demand the release of a president who was ousted through through a coup. It's not wrong to demand for the release of a former president. But there is a contradiction. There's a contradiction to say yes, it's good to demand for the release of a former president, where we subscribe to that principle of democracy to say no ruler should be ousted using military means. But there's a contradiction. Did the European Parliament also pass the same resolution when Maduro was picked up by the US? Or is it only because it's Africa? Did they do that also when Maduro was ousted? Just a comparison to say, yes, both cases are legitimate, but why selective? Why selective? Because if you want Bazoum to be released, which is a fair point, why can't you also pass another resolution which says US must release the president who is actually arrested, which is actually a weird scenario to say arrested by a foreign state. But that is what's happening. And when you look at international law, then you start really to say there is a selective application of international law, especially when it comes to what needs to be done, and also how we can also be able to navigate through. And looking at the World Trade Organization, apart from that news, it was stated that the new WTO report indicated high oil gas price a serious challenge for trade growth. And it was stated that the World Trade Organization issued a warning, and it is indicated that the trade growth in goods, even before the energy market shock due to the Middle East war, would drop to 1.9% this year, compared to 4.6% in 2025. If crude oil and liquefied natural gas price remain elevated throughout in 2026, he said that on Thursday, economic growth forecast would darken further, slashing another 0.5% point of the global trade. And looking into this, you realize to say, when in the weekend, in the international market, it was stated that the price of crude oil was at 110 per barrel. So, indicating that most of the shipping traffic throughout the Strait of Hormuz is also pushing the price of Brent crude over 115 a barrel. That is how the situation is going to be. And a lot of people, what they are not getting is that the Strait of Hormuz is not the only place where oil is coming from in the world, but it's a critical place, because it hosts 20-30% of global oil. When you remove 20-30%, you change the whole dynamic. You create that gap. Then those who are selling, they have to increase the price, because the demand now is very high, especially when it comes to the use of oil. To say, when the Strait of Hormuz doesn't mean that the world is not going to eat and drink. Doesn't mean that the world is not going forward. The world is going forward, but there is a bigger gap. Because oil is a very important commodity that is used for almost everything. That's why if you listen to the spokesperson of Iranian Revolutionary Guard, who's saying once you bomb our energy infrastructure, we are now going to completely close the Strait of Hormuz, especially until to the point that our energy infrastructure is rebuilt, because now it's a tit for tat. It's a tit for tat. And I was looking at the Prime Minister of Israel, who indicated that the whole world must join, especially against Iran, due to what it's doing. But looking into that context, a lot of people do not know that Israel has a president. Israel still has a president. Benjamin Netanyahu is just a prime minister, but in terms of governance arrangement, the prime minister has more power in terms of administration, and the president is still there. And, you know, you only hear about the prime minister, but that is how things are. That is how things are. And the governance is so complicated. It's like Iran. You look at Iran. You don't know who is in charge. You have the head of the army. Then you have the head of the security. The Supreme Security Council. Then you have the Supreme Leader. Then you also have the Assembly of the Expert. Then you see that it's more complicated than that. But let us look at a short commercial break, then we'll also be able to continue with the conversation. However, you can still engage us in the studio at 083-288-401, 083-288-401. And also to say, 21 March, it was an interesting day. We have heard what the leaders have said. We have listened. We have enjoyed. And the question is always to say, so what now? After everything, so what? What will happen? After all the communication, after we guided and protected our peace and stability, after we danced, after we ate all kinds of meat, and we have enjoyed ourselves, and you see pictures on social media. You see everybody was wearing their traditional, you know, attires. But the question is that, what happened now? What are we going to do different now? Today is a fresh day. What are we going to do after we reminded ourselves of who we are and what we stand for? So stay tuned, because we are here until the hour of 8.
Lipura nengeleo wapubwa Eva tere ulikoni maondu tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku dite opoye ekukulile oshafafana nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshuala onongeshe faa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka okupitira oipindi konu konda doili nawa mune udo otukwetira o special ange kashake ngeshe faa omarudi dayo loka opone ushendife nawa nokumona oijamweli nawa ninge pata fanona monika ko Eagle FM onora etatuimwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile kumberewa mura hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu o mafelane Eagle FM the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its
Eagle staff. FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
So, not fraud, it's a scandal. Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that doesn't have a capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the
early birds catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombe, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism. Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Yeah, we are moving forward with early morning scoop, especially when you are looking at what is happening in the world, and also what is happening in the continent of Africa, and most importantly, what is happening in Namibia, where are we standing as a country, and also to look at various development in that context. So, before we look at the Global Happiness Report, so indicated that when you look at Chad, stated that Chad deploy 800 troops to Haiti for gang suppression force as Kenya step back. It's indicated that Chad is getting ready to deploy some 800 police officers to Haiti. And Chadian official told Reuters on condition of anonymity. And they will join international effort aim on tackling gang activity in Caribbean nation. So when you look at the Caribbean nations, you know, sometimes you forget about what is happening in other part of the world. I used to say, there are gangs leading countries there. So there are gangs which are competing with police and the military. And it was stated that the United Nations backed the gang suppression force succeed a smaller Kenyan-led mission that began operation in 2024. It's a multinational force that is put in place, put into countries including Jamaica, Guatemala, and El Salvador. And understanding that, fighting gangs, which is part of United Nations mission, is teaching you a lot of things, especially when you look at how unattended crime can become so worse, because if you listen, especially what happened in South Africa when General Mkhwanazi was being interviewed, he indicated that one of the things which prompted him to come up with that press conference that caused all the controversy, figures in South Africa, some being suspended, it was because they were seeing that the gang was taking over the country. And once a person who has influence, particularly in an underground world, start taking over the country, then nothing is safe. But that is also some of the things that are happening, especially looking into Haiti and also other part of the world. Realize to say, once a crime is not handled properly, once a criminal gangs are not being called to account, once they become too powerful than the state, then it's going to be difficult. That's why other countries will end up looking for external intervention so that you can suppress this gang and make sure that you know, you bring about peace and stability. And there's a very interesting thing which is happening in Madagascar. To say, the president of Madagascar, has announced on Thursday that anyone applying to become a minister in a new government will undergo a lie detector test to screen for corruption. And that is one of the vetting measures to say, if you want to, become a minister in Madagascar, they have to test you based on your integrity, based on your truth. It's a lie detector. Some of these things were only used to interrogate and also get information from criminals. But it was also indicated that President Michael Radrianirina has indicated that all the ministers, they have to go through the vetting. If you are not telling the truth, stand in this machine. And if you are lying, you will not pass that test. And it also stated that those who pass will then meet with the president and prime minister. And the president of Madagascar indicated that we are not looking for someone who is 100% clean, but someone who is more than 60% clean. Indicated that if you are 60%, if you are more than 60% clean, and this exception, to say it's a human, it's a part of human nature. Some people, they are not calling it lying. Some people, they are calling it being creative about the truth. Some people can call it withhold of information. Some people can also call it part of life, to say. If you have to ask yourself that, you have to speak 110% truth, how life is going to be if everything was brought by. Because human beings, they don't hide information, but they keep some, either to protect themselves, either to protect their loved ones. But that is what is indicated to say. They are not looking for a person who is 100% clean, because if he's 100% clean, which means that he's a saint, he will not be able to operate in that ground. And there is no one who is 100% clean. Even if you are looking at an individual and saying, no, this one is 100% clean, there is nothing like that unless you are not a human being. And the president of Madagascar indicated that they have to go through a lie detector. Imagine somebody that you tell so much, then end up at 20% or at 5% in terms of telling the truth. Because if the truth, if somebody have been lying for a long time, it's even very difficult to know which one is the truth, which one is a lie. But the president has also indicated that, you know, that is also one of the things, especially to promote integrity and also promotion of honesty. And the question is that can that be done in Namibia? How many of the people will be able to agree for it to be done in Namibia or in other countries? People will start to be very angry with you. But you've been telling people that you are telling the truth. Why can't we put you at a lie detector so that we make you, you know, a CFO, or we make you, especially critical ministries, to say, for you to handle this ministry, at least go through a lie detector. And also, let us ask you this question. And I think sometimes in terms of democracy, it may also really have a lot of criticism, especially looking at that vetting process. And somebody may also want to ask to say, if you are detecting, can we all just go to a lie detector from the head until the tail? But yeah, that is what is happening. That is what happening. Because even when he came to power, he did not come to power through democratic elections, but now he was confirmed to be a president, to say, let us all go. But that is a discussion of another day. So let us go to a short commercial break, then we can move forward. Good morning.
Morning, David.
Yes. How are you?
How are you? Fine, thank you. How are you?
I'm good.
Wonderful.
Mm.
Yeah, no, I think I agree with that. I support that process.
Of lie detecting?
Because if you see,
yeah,
before the when the things were penetrating, the criminality was penetrating in the South African system, and I think even here, so you discover that some of those people, they were, who were actually carrying out their mission of criminality, they also did not want to...
Hold on.
Care that builds with you. That's the rollover benefit from NHB. When you claim less than a defined amount of your day-to-day benefits in a year, the unused amount is carried over for the next year, like a savings account for your health. You can use your rollover benefit in many ways, from co-payments to medical costs usually not covered, even contribution holidays. Learn more at nhb.com.na. T's and C's apply. NHB, rooted in care for you.
Your health, your life, your peace of mind. NHB, we're about you.
Esira shisho, pagyotari kukwathere opoguro kara uwasira ya kweni ochisho. Watuchi ithana basic mental health first aid course. Haiganjwa oshari chamhongi kwa mboka iri iyo yo NHP. Watapewa unongo unonseo na kene una okutongorora omadidiriko ugopetameko igena cha nupiakadhi nenge omafidakano gopama viraviro kuchane omokatiko kumekoe nenge anironga pamwe nangoe osho otopewa unongo kene una okuya kwathena nukuya pa eabithitho yiri monjira omanga upya kadiboka inauru darara kuyerere ounji na kene unokara uishangitha tarira po epanja yao yo nhp.com.a ehangono maradura sano odobina okurandurwa NHP rooted in care for you.
Your health, your life, your peace of mind. NHP, we're about you.
Yes.
Yeah, I was saying that I think that process is very important. Because when you hear now the penetration of criminality into the system of South Africa, the governance structure and everything. So some of those people, like Jarius Mpangazi, and others, they never wanted to be vetted, and that I think caused more harm than.
Say that again. Who did not want to be vetted?
Especially people like Jarius Mpangazi. And many others who were actually carrying on those criminalities.
Now, when you are speaking about the lie detection, if the president of Madagascar is speaking about every minister has to go through lie detection, and if you have to be respectful enough to say, when he came to power, first, he also came to power when there was conflict, right?
Yeah.
Okay, can you also put him on the lie detector?
Yeah, if it's subjective.
Because he's the one who is initiating that. Can we test the tester too? It's just for argument's sake to say, okay, if it's standard procedure to say you want to test people that you want honest, people with integrity. And when you came to power, it was also not really straight. But can you also do that? And if you find that you are below 60, what would happen to you?
The lie detection means it's the same as vetted, no?
No, it's another form of vetting. It's another form of testing the truthfulness of a person.
Yeah.
No, you asked critical question about integrity. Let me say you want to become a minister of finance. We are asking your question to say, when was the last time that you stole the money? And also those background questions. And in the situation that a person, and they have different ways, either it's heartbeat or any other things. But in that context, when they realize that your performance is poor, then they say, no, this is not the person that we can take. Is the thing being used, I think it's in America and few countries for interrogating and also getting information from criminals.
Yeah, I think it's fine. He must lead by example.
Can he pass? If he did not pass, what will happen now?
Yeah, maybe the reason why, because others will also say.
No, because so it seems, I'm just saying, it seems who's saying, okay, everybody who wants to be a minister in Madagascar has to go through a lie detection. Can he also go through? Or is an exception?
Of course, he's not going to be exception. But maybe also he's confident that if he goes through that process, so he will not be found guilty, or in the integrity and honesty and all those values, for him he is protected. Maybe he's secured. He knows.
I don't think the tester want to be tested, but it's actually a very good thing to come up with something like that.
Yeah, I think especially in our context and especially the way I'm talking about this investing and things like that. Because when you see now the Lieli Mupanazi, the man of men, that one, you see, I really love him. And his integrity, his honesty, the patriotism, and all these things, qualities that you can think of to really protect his country. And I think if you can have people of that caliber, and then you will see that our system will really move very well. Because that criminality was really spread across in South Africa. Imagine the people who were now, who could be, I don't know how the system, because, and I'm just thinking that it could also be, they might have penetrated in our system here. Because even if you see some of the guns that were found there, you know, they originated from Namibia. And when they were caught, because I remember some of the, when they discovered some of the ammunition missing in their stock there. So maybe this thing has happened, it has been happening a long time ago. And if you are not careful to really detect this thing, and I'm hearing a lot of scams where you see the doctors involved, this other one involved, in fraudulent activities. And the same apply also in South Africa. Some of these insurance companies. And things are happening. So if we can able to bring a process that can subject people, or especially when you are into critical position for authority, so you definitely have to go through that thing, because I know they do it here, but it's only, they are only doing it maybe when somebody is going to work in those, maybe let's say state house or those attached institution, and you know. But in these other areas, people can go there and just sabotage.
Yeah, you are making sense. And the other thing is also that when you look at that process. When you look at that process really carefully and compare to other countries, why can't you look at how other countries performed well? Did that happen to China? Did it happen to Japan? Did it happen to Singapore? Or it's only that Africa, we are different? Putting a minister to a lie detector may look like a good thing, but is it really going to affect the performance of that person?
Yeah, maybe the person he or she ensured himself or herself that yes, since I've passed through this thing, and you know that, and I think it was also a good thing when the late president Hage Geingob also was suggesting that people put your credential there and all these other things. Maybe it's the one way of initiating those kind of process. But I know. Is it happening there in those countries that you mentioned? Is it happening?
No. I think it's the first time I'm hearing this.
Yeah?
No, it's not happening.
So you also mentioned about democracy.
Mm.
People might think it's their right and they might be refusing to do that, to get into that process. It's their right, but it's better to protect the interest of the majority over the individual interest. Because if the system is corrupted, obviously everybody will be affected. And I'm sure it was only a matter of time in South Africa. You could have led, you know, a lot of people have been murdered, killed, politicians have been killed, and all these things. So to allow the system to get corrupted in that manner, up to that level, so, and it is just a matter of time when before we see the leaders being killed and all these kind of things. So I'm really, I thank God for you because you are the one who has introduced me to this mad land.
But I'm not the initiator of it.
Yeah, but you, at least your education, your awareness.
Okay.
You need that awareness and see, look guys, we need to be there and see how the criminal justice system was penetrated. And the day I tuned to that South Africa.
Oh my God.
Yeah, so what is happening now, you see, in Iraq, I mean, in Iran and America?
No, we'll get there.
But I still need to know whether Netanyahu is dead or alive.
He's alive. Why everybody want him dead? Why do you wish people to die?
No, I know, I'm just asking because...
No, he's alive.
There are a lot of speculation.
No, he's alive.
He's alive, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just happy to be causing havoc in the country, in the world like that.
That is a question to him, right?
Not that you want him to die.
Yeah.
But you know, sometimes the grace of God can also move away from you and then
But you know one thing that we need to look at is a narrative of war. To say who is just in this war is a narrative of war. To say, is it Israel who is wrong? Is it America who is wrong? Is it Iran who is wrong? Is it the trade
wrong? Because you went to influence America.
Mm.
Apparently, America did not want to go to war, and because of Israel, he had to. I don't know why he had to submit to those. He had to submit to that.
But who said that is the only reason people go to war? Why? What if there is a lot of things beyond that?
Because sometimes
it's only what we see. Because it's only what we see. And there's always one thing which I like to challenge Namibians to say, if we are against what is happening in Iran, why can't we speak loud with what is happening in Russia? I mean in Ukraine. If we can speak loud about what's happening in Gaza, why can't we condemn our good friend with what's happening in Ukraine? And what's happening also to other countries?
To condemn Russia.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, people are also not...
No, don't say people also, just say I'm also not happy with it. Are you happy with what's happening in Ukraine?
Yes, if you allow Russia to be...
No. No, I'm just...
You know, Russia.
No, it's only that it supported us during the struggle, that we don't want to touch it.
Somebody is peaceful because he is now, maybe that war for Ukraine can be justifiable.
It's justifiable?
Even though you say there's no war that's justified, just war.
How can we justify it?
Yeah, because it's actually America and the NATO who wanted to attack Russia through Ukraine.
Is that not a narrative?
It's a true narrative.
Okay, when Israel is saying these guys are going to attack me, why you don't support him?
No, Israel has done a lot of atrocity already, and nobody, you cannot trust him because he has already destroyed Palestine, the Gaza, and everything there.
So you are saying it's good to go to Ukraine, but it's not good to go to Venezuela.
Imagine how can you?
No, I'm just asking.
Yes, because they are deterring the enemy that is coming closer to their border, to their home.
Okay, just hold on, hold on.
Great news! Import just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Yeah, in conclusion?
Yeah, in conclusion, I know that every war or whatever, it's not a good thing, but even though there are, you know, grounds to justify some of this self-defense. Like Russia, it acted on self-defense, actually. Because they know already that the enemy is coming closer to my border. And that was the plan.
Mm.
And because of the history of peace, from these countries, China and Russia and those other fields.
Mm.
I think there was also a reaching to justify that attack.
If China take Taiwan tomorrow, you are also going to say it's justifiable?
Yeah, because it's one. You see, that's one policy. What is that slogan?
No. I'm just. I don't know.
Yeah, because Taiwan, I think it was also part of China.
Okay.
If that is the case, the reason why they haven't started fighting is just because of their diplomatic good relationship. And China does not want to harm Taiwan, except when America is now trying to interfere, selling, you know, all these kind of things. It's one policy, they are talking about one policy, whatsoever. So I think that is the thing. But the moment the America intervene there or try to influence negatively, that's the only way when China can perhaps attack Taiwan.
Okay, so, thank you.
Yeah,
we are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop. With me, Devin Shombe. And as we indicated today, we are looking at Global Happiness Report. And when you look at the Happiness Report, there is one thing that is always standing out, especially in the study of happiness. When you look at what has been stated, and also looking at the global ranking, be able to realize that countries were tested based on things such as life satisfaction, economic well-being, the economic standard of the countries, and we have a list here up to 147 countries. And when you look at the list of countries based on their happiness report, up to 147, you also be able to see and also understand that, you know, there are countries that maintained the top 10, or there are countries that maintained at position number 1 to 10 or 1 to 5 for almost 9 years. You have Nordic countries at the top. You have Finland, you have Iceland, you have Denmark, you have Costa Rica, you have Sweden, you have Norway, you have Netherlands, and interestingly, you also have Israel at number 8, and Luxembourg, Switzerland at number 10. Now, these countries are known to be one of the wealthiest countries, but it's not only about wealthiness, but it's also about resource distribution. If you look at Finland, look at the social grant of Finland, you look at the pension fund of Finland, then you look at the life expectation, then you look at the democracy in Finland, then you really are not surprised why Finland is at number one. Then you can move down and ask yourself a question to say, in the top 50, where are the African countries? Then you can also go and ask yourself to say, in the top 50, in the top 60, where are the African countries? Then you also realize to say there is a lot of dynamics actually, especially when it comes to happiness, because you find out the countries such as Japan at position number 61. Find countries such as Japan at position number 61. And you find countries such as China at position number 65. Then you continue to analyze and look at where African countries. Then when you come to 93, and interestingly actually, is Mozambique, which is at position number 93. Then you have Iraq at number 95. Then you come and look for Namibia to say, where is Namibia? At one point we were at 103. That was last year. But now we are at 108 compared to the ranking. Now, this is among everything which have happened. When we are at this position 108, we must celebrate, because compared to our economy not growing, compared to unemployment went down, we still managed to be closer to 100, over 147. We must celebrate, but that should not be the end. We must also look at other countries to say how many African countries are in front of us. Then it also make me to remember what one of the young people have said, especially during my interview at on the 21st of March, to say sometimes the grass is not always greener on the other side. So you know, the grass is not always greener on the other side. And you realize to say, in terms of happiness, in terms of Africa, we are at the top 10. Which is actually, worth noting. But why countries such as, DRC, Lebanon, Yemen, Botswana, Zimbabwe, Malawi, Sierra Leone, and Afghanistan are at the last? Afghanistan, you know, it has been under, had been within war for 20 years with America and many other countries. Sierra Leone, you speak about war. We look at Malawi. You speak about a country with which depend on aid to fund everything. Then you look at Zimbabwe. Case where the population come in. To say Zimbabwe is the fourth last in terms of happiness report, but you also need to look at Zimbabwe's population. And you look at Zimbabwe's problems. But who surprised me is Botswana. Regardless of stable democracy, Botswana almost have the same problems as us. But you realize to say people there, they are not happy in terms of the life evaluation report. You look at Yemen. This is where you find the Houthis, rebels, where you find, conflicts too. you have Lebanon, you have DRC. Then who surprised me is also DRC being in front of Botswana. You look at the population and you look at those who are evaluated, then you realize that there's a lot of things that need to be done. Now the question that you need to ask yourself is that when these samples were taken, if I have to ask you a question as a Namibian to say in terms of life evaluation report to say, how do you rank yourself from 0 to 10, where 0 is worse, 10 is 100% life satisfaction. That's how your happiness is being measured. To say, is your economic standard, are you happy with your economic standard? Number 2, are you satisfied with life? Are you happy about living in the country? Are you optimistic about the future? And you can also look at your health evaluation to say, are you healthy? If you are not healthy, do you have a nearby hospital that can be able also to treat you? And also in terms of the future, to say life expectancy, how long do you think, if everything goes according to plan, you are going to live? If everything goes according to plan, and what is the degree of you reaching the age of 80, for example, or 70? Those are the questions that you need to look at, and then that will evaluate your level of happiness, and that is what that is the scale which was used. But what is interesting, that is interesting about the report, is not they not only look at that; it also look at youth, and also the use of social media. To realize, to say, when you look at countries in the UK, which were trying to put the ban on social media, especially to the children under the age of 12 and 15 there, you realize, to say, the report has also indicated to say, African youth are even happier compared to North America and Europe. And it also surprised us to say, sometimes the grass is not always greener on the other side. To say, why are they not happy? One of the things is social media addiction. One thing is social media addiction, isolation based on social media. And you really realize to say, it's complicated than we see. It's not greener than we see when you are compared to other countries. And that is only one of... That is only one of the reports among many others. Now the question that we should also ask ourselves is that what is the meaning of this data and how can you utilize them? It's not only about comparing, look at where you are and say, no, I think I'm moving upward. The thing that we need to look at is that apart from challenges that we have, what can we do to elevate ourselves? Because everybody wants to be like Finland. What is that we can learn from Finland? Finland, what is that Finland has that we also have? Yes, Finland has peace and stability. Among many other things, it has peace and stability. We also have that. Finland has also a high percentage in terms of social grant. We also have social grant. But when you compare to Finland, you say Finland is a developed country, and it has functioning institutions have in terms of democratic institutions, and also in terms of corruption, it's almost at zero. Which means that they have worked well in their good governance. Then that is what we need to fix, to say, yes, we can meet, we can tick the box of peace and stability, we can tick the box of democracy, we can tick the box of social grant, but can we tick the box of self-sustaining? Can we tick the box of zero tolerance to corruption? Can we tick the box of, good parenting? And the other thing which was stated is parenting. Is the relationship between parents and children. To say, the foundation of a well-functioning society is a family. And people of Finland, they took family very seriously. Here somebody say, if you want to fix Namibian economy, just be a good wife. Or just be a good husband. People will not understand it. Because the kid that you are raising is the next chief financial officer for SOE in Namibia, or the kid that you are raising is an ex-pirate. If you are not a good parent, you will not instill good value to this kid. He may succeed in the profession, but he will not succeed in integrity. He may succeed in academically, but will not succeed in terms of morals. He will be morally downgraded or morally corrupt. And that's why that is something that we need to compare. When our kings and chiefs, when our traditional leaders are indicating to us to say, let us go back to our old values of maintaining the status.
Your bank would never try to convince you that we are legit. We already know you. If in doubt, hang up and call us on 0612991200. Bank Windhoek, a member of Capricorn Group.
Celebrate Namibia's Independence Month with amazing deals at Exodus Investment CC. Get solar lights for just 100 Namibian dollars. Rehearsal stock, CCTV, Wi-Fi cameras, TV mounts, DSTV and GoTV satellite TV accessories, plus replacement remotes for TVs, air conditioners and many other electronic accessories only at Exodus Investment CC. Visit us today at Shop 7, Black Chain Shopping Center in Katutura, next to Bank Windhoek. We are open daily, including public holidays, from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. for your convenience. Call or WhatsApp 081-3191-395 and find us on social media. Exodus Investment CC, your trusted store for quality electronics and accessories. Hurry! Our Independence Special runs until the 30th of April 2026. And remember, Exodus Investment CC. We courier countrywide. Call us now.
When life starts squeezing me like a lemon, I know what to do.
With Express Credit's easy payday loans, you can get up to 9,000 Namibian dollars to help ease your financial squeeze in under 15 minutes. Visit expresscredit.com.na. Express Credit, money when you need it.
Yeah, we are moving forward. We are moving forward with A Morning Scoop, 31 minutes past the hour 7. You can engage us in the studio at 083-288-401, 083-288-401. And the other thing that would take us back is that if we cannot learn from Finland, because if you look at the Global Happiness Report, where Finland has been dominating for the last 9 years, you'll be able to realize that Finland is widely known to have best support for parents and children in the world, good supportive families, and that is the foundation of a well-functioning society. To say if you have people who values and morals are instilled at a very younger age, when they become professionals, they still have that family values. They still have that care and support, because they understand that a constituency is just an extension of a family. It's not an individual thing. They understand that when they become a counselor, the constituency has to function as a family. When you become a governor, the region has to function as a family. And a well-supported region is a well-supported family. That's why Finland is beating us in a lot of things. Look at Namibia. How is our family structure? How is and you may think it's not related to the growth of the country, but when we instill morals, when we instill respect, when we instill values, when we instill good principles to our children, then we are building good leaders for the future and also good industrial experts. But when people are depressed, when there is always this thing, my child, when the child does not even know where he's coming from and where he's going, who is belong to him or to her, then it becomes so chaotic, to that extent that even building a country on its own is very difficult. That's why we are indicating to say we have commonalities with Finland, but Finland is far ahead of us. We can learn from Finland in a lot of things. We can go back and learn from our traditional leaders also, who are indicating to us to say, you may run very fast, but here we are sitting with wisdom. You still come back to us and ask for assistance. But it's very important, wise, to Eri to say, yes, we can run to development. We can run to modernization and pop culture. But those guys, they still have their values. What are the Namibian values? Somebody asked during Independence Day to say, what are the Namibian values? What is our identity? Apart from the color of the flag, what is a Namibian identity? So, let's look at a short commercial break. Then we'll be able to indicate to you what is in the Villager newspaper today. What is in the content of the Villager newspaper. And why you should not afford to miss the context and content of the Villager newspaper. Especially when it coming to the content of economic policy, governance, and trade.
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondu tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku tete opoye ekukulile oshafafana nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano hile koshuala onongeshe faa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi nawa nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe faa omarudi dayo loka opone ushe ndife nawa nukumona oijamwiri nawa ninge Pada fanona, Monica ko Eagle FM, onora etatimwe bali heali, nola natu heali bali no heali. Ileko derewa, mura etatu natu, bali o etatu batatu, o mafelane, Eagle FM, the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any other.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have a capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM,
the early bird catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombeye, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism. Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye.
We are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop. And to look at our e-paper today, it's interesting to look into this. Indicated that the government of Namibia has to pay 36.9 billion obligation in 4 years. Government face 36.9 billion Namibian dollars repayment obligation in 4 years. And that is the money we need to pay back as a country in 4 years. And when you speak about 4 years, we are speaking about 2030. Say by 2030, we are paying 36.9 billion as part of that obligation. In the next 4 years, the Namibian government has to repay that amount of money. This is according to the bond maturity profile documented in the country's fiscal strategy for 2027, showing that the government has 12 bonds maturing in the next 4 years. These are funds that the government have borrowed mostly from domestic investors through various bonds, which the promise of payment. And you are paying this amount of money, which is including what you have borrowed, and is also including the interest. It's a very interesting article to look into. So when it's coming to debt management, are we in line, or we are just balancing numbers? When it comes to debt management, are we in line? And where are you going to get those money? Where are you going to get those money to pay back that money? Are you going to get that money from tax? Or are you going to borrow again to pay the money? Because if you look at what happened to a Eurobond of over $700 million US dollar, you realize to say when he paid it back, we also have to source out funds from commercial banks so that we can make sure that, you know, we pay what is owed to Caesar, pay what is owed to Caesar. Because Caesar wants his coins, then you have to pay Caesar his coins. And go to page 3 of the Villager newspaper. This is Helvetia University application programs. The application is ongoing until the 30th of March. And then we have certificate in project management, certificate in supply chain management, diploma legal studies, level 6, bachelor's of education. And you also have an LLB here. It's a bachelor of law. Your bachelor's of supply chain management and also project management. Look at courses such as project management and the law. Those are still courses that Namibia wants. And you also look at education. So look at supply chain management. And then you look at project management to say, for us not to have a white elephant project, we need project planner, project implementer, project executor, project evaluators, and also the beneficiary of those projects, because that is exactly what we need, and you can't do that without an expert in project management. So, page 4, there's an article by my colleague here, Lois Shimi, that is looking at corrugated iron manufacture produce approximately 800 tons annually. That Trumokwa Haikari, owner of Roof Tech Company, has dedicated nearly 5 years researching how to enter the manufacturing industry in a manner that would benefit Namibia. And in an interview with Eagle Media House, Haikari revealed that his company currently produces 800 tons of corrugated iron each year. And this is what we call Namibia. This is what we call Namibian products. This is what we call Namibian products. If we get a Namibian who can come up with a business of producing corrugated iron, Iperek, from our homeland, you realize to say that we don't only have potential, we also have capacity. But are we supported to come to that context? How many Namibians too are in that line of manufacturing if you are looking into this context? So, page 5 of the Villager newspaper. It's an article by my colleague Dwight Links here, which is indicating that the previous agriculture ministry, the previous minister of agriculture is blamed for Maheke Uranium stalemate. In the report by National Assembly Standing Committee on Natural Resources, the committee indicated that various factors are hampering the second half of uranium exploration activities, and these are in the in-situ recovery leaching method that was used in the Maheke region. To say the figures of the committee are being pointed to Kel Shetvein. He used to be known as the Minister of Finance at one point, and also lastly serving as the Minister of Agriculture. And yeah, looking at startups in Namibia, page 6 is indicated that Basecamp celebrate Women Month by spotlighting female founders. And you see, there's an article here by HD. And we have to read what is the support of Basecamp Incubator, especially when it comes to supporting of women businesses. And I see beautiful faces here. I see Monica, I see meeting Kandanga, I see a lot of ladies here. Especially that area of startup businesses. And that is what is happening. Especially when it comes to Basecamp Namibia. And read, get content, why others are winning, why others are celebrating. How can you benefit from Basecamp startup and move forward? While we are there, you can also be able to look at our industrial briefs, especially look at bailout strategic Achipara Beck. Bailout of strategic SOEs stated that in his contribution to the table of budget of National Assembly, this indicated that in that context there is a need for bailing out of strategic SOEs. There's actually a need to bail out, strategic SOEs, and we know them. When you look at SOEs, state-owned enterprises, that are really struggling, that really need assistance, you must really see that there's a lot which need to be done. And some of them, they are really in limbo. Some of them are headless. You're asking yourself, are they using a Mosaic strategy to say you can still operate without a head? But you really see that there's a lot that need to be done. There are a lot of acting CEOs and MDs, and we are saying acting. It's not full functioning. You speak about acting. Why there is that title of acting? Some people, they realize to say it's not really my position. I'm just acting. And I'm just doing my best. But if you give somebody responsibility to say, Chief, you are here for 5 years. This is your contract. This is what is expected from you. And whatever happened will be on your name. And lead this team. And you understand that there is quite a difference. Country remain with adequate fuel supply. There is a ministry. There is a ministry of industry, mines and energy. To say whatever is happening, when they are bombing each other in the Middle East, we are still balanced, we are still neutral, and that is good leadership. If that is the case, we are very happy for that. To say we still have economic strategists who do not only think about crisis management, but also to say there's a backup plan, because there's always one thing which I've been speaking about, to say we cannot afford to suffer another pressure. We'll just collapse because we have been on a defensive mode for a very long time. It's like you are 1-1 and you have been defending for the past 30 minutes. And then on extra time you got the goal. You will not recover. That's why we are saying Namibian economy is on an economic defense mode. And we cannot afford to suffer another crisis. We either maintain or we put on gear 2. Because if we don't maintain, you already know that your expectation, economic growth of last year, did not materialize. You already know that you do not have data. You already know that your inequality did not change. And you already know that your developmental budget, that was also supposed to bring about some changes, is continue to be very, very small. Then you already know that you have these billions of money that you have to pay. That's why when you look at our industrial briefs, if the ED for the ministry is indicating that we are still fine for the next for the next 3 months, indicating that we are still fine in terms of fuel supply, then you should really be thanked, because other countries are already in pain. Maybe what other better strategy can be used to reserve oil? And the other thing is also that health, task force commission and devices recommendation to say the task force on health was validated last week and it has met at its first workshop. The workshop was to validate and reach consensus on identified priority areas and develop key recommendation aimed to strengthen health system, improving access to quality services and enhancing overall health outcomes. And yeah, looking at opinionated article by Kanjogang Panyoka, looking at economic dignity and the case of youth unemployment, be able to read and get that content, especially when it comes to youth unemployment and also what the economists are saying, especially when it comes to what need to be done. So you can engage us at 083-288-401 or 83-288-401. When the Middle East is on fire, we are saying our country have maintained to protect our full supply. The question is, for how long? What is the long-term strategy? And for how long can we survive? And if we can do that, what lesson can we learn too? Because the disruption in oil supply did not only brought panic to Africa, but the whole world too. Because if you look at the Wall Street, if you look at Indian stock market, then you realize to say Iran is really suffocating the world. Why is also suffering? And when you listen to what the spokesperson of Iran Revolutionary Guard is saying, particularly responding to what the president of US have said, you realize to say there's a long way to go. But the question that we are also looking at to say, why can't this guy just stop this fighting, which is really causing a lot of panic, which has already lost narrative, particularly on the intention. And also, one was also asked to say, is the fear of Israel also justified? Because what Iran did in the weekend, firing 4,000 kilometers, it's already proven itself that if Europe attacked, it will also be able to receive that that blow. And you also ask yourself to say, it's very difficult to be a leader of Israel too. Because if you look at the new ways of bombs being used by Iran, you really wonder how this war is going to end. And if they said the whole region will go back to racing camels and being in the desert, is that what they mean? But let's wait and see what will happen. Because at the end of the day, diplomacy will always win. People have to come on the table. Because in Iran now, the only person to speak to is maybe people from foreign relations. Because the leaders, almost 70% of top leaders, or maybe 80% of top leaders, are killed. And their system, the Moissac system, which is automatic replacement, to say once a general is down, there is already a replacement ready the next hour, which proven actually to be effective. And also to us to say, maybe what lesson can you also learn from this war? What lesson can you learn from this war? Especially in terms of the system, to say, if you have to remove violence, if you have to remove war, then you look at, for example, Moissac system, to say, if you have an SOE which has tested the Moissac defense strategy, to say, we bring it to corporate sector, to say, once the MD is not feeling well, once the MD is sick, once the MD is maybe transferred or got better opportunities. The organization will not run headless and will not run looking for replacement or this battle, but the system continues to function. The procurement is not ending. People are following principles which are there. And this really help, it can really help other institutions to say, there are also those things to say, if you look at, and I'm speaking from a black family as the one I have experienced more on, there's always somebody in the family who is known to be the backbone of the family. But if that person dies, or if that person becomes so weak, or something happens, the whole family divides itself and collapses. But when you study it very well and see, no, this thing of mosaic strategy is not only about war, but it's also about the functionality of the institution in the time that power is not much concentrated on the person, but in the whole organization, or in the whole family. But there's a lot of things happening. There is actually a lot of things happening. Say the trade is disrupted, but they're also beneficial of trade. Especially China is making money. China is making money. And you also realize to say, sometimes it's good not to get into fights. When people are fighting, sometimes stand on the sideline and watch. Because sometimes it's not your fight, or sometimes it's not worth it. China is making money because with the collapse of Iranian currency due to economic pressure, they are saying, no, that who is buying oil, you have to buy in Chinese yuan. And when you are buying oil, that transaction has to be done. Then you also, things also get complicated, and you're asking yourself to say, out of this bombardment, how are the banking sector operating? Then you realize to say the world is so advanced that people are using cryptocurrency, and the world is so advanced that even if you destroy the hard cash, there's still value of money in e-money. But yeah, let's look at a short commercial break, then we'll be able to come to the conclusion of our conversation, and make sure that when it comes to the e-paper, you'll get time and read that content.
Lipura nengelo wapungwa eva tere ulikoni maondu tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku dite okoye ekukurile oshafafana nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano hile koshuana kunongeshe faa ya pumbo kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka okupitira oipindi konu konda doi nao nuneuto otukwetira o special angeta shake ngeshe faa omarudi dayo loka opone ushendife nawa nukumona oijamwiri nawa ninge Pata fanona, Monica ko Eagle FM, onora itatu imwe bali heali, nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile kumberewa, nora hetatu natu, bali o hetatu batatu, o mafelane, Eagle FM, the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of
its... Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
So not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my catatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in catatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM.
Yeah, dear listeners, that brings us to the end of our conversation. And as I indicated, don't forget to follow international news. And there is one lesson that we should all learn, especially from today's news, especially looking at the case of DRC, to say, If we really want to revive our airline, for example, can we look beyond what they want and also look at the success story and also difficult stories? Because compared to Air Namibia, look at Congo Airways. What we went through is what they are going through now. Then maybe it's also very important to learn from that failure and also compare. Then you also look at the case study of Ethiopia to say, how come Ethiopia, regardless of sometimes economy is fluctuating, sometimes conflict with their neighbor, sometimes at war, but they have managed to have one of the best airline in the continent with capacities of thousands of, flights and also airplanes. And it has recruited almost people from all corners of the world. That is from China, that is Namibia, that is Japan. You understand to say, for us to get into an airline, we don't only need to jump into it. Although we have a really good ambition of having our airline back. And there was an argument to say we cannot just be without an airline. That is a good argument, but can you maintain it also? Because you can't just say we cannot just have, but is it having or utilizing it working hand in hand? Yes, we want it, it's our pride, but before it's our pride, sometimes we must also swallow our pride and understand that are we able to do it or we are not able to do it. And until we find somebody who can manage it, until we can have a sustainable airline, then we can have it, because some of these projects have milked the country a lot of money. And DRC is also struggling with their own. Maybe when it comes back in the form of Namibia Air, maybe we are going to be ready and manage that aviation sector properly without just giving it to the private sector. So I'm going to leave you in the good hands of the Big Mike to unpack the day. For me, David Shombe, bye-bye. See you around. Shop.